Evan Haffer founded Black Rifle Coffee Company in 2014 along with Army Ranger Matt Best as a combination of two passions, developing premium roast-to-order coffee and supporting the veteran and military community. Black Rifle is continually committed to supporting veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes. With the company's Buy a Bag, Give a Bag campaign, we make sure to give the gift of America's coffee to deploy troops around the globe. CEO and founder Evan Haffer started Black Rifle Coffee Company after 20 years in the U.S. Army as an infantryman, special forces soldier, and a CIA contractor. Black Rifle offers a variety of roast profiles, all sourced from around the world through a rigorous process and roasted in the U.S. at Black Rifle facilities in Tennessee and Utah. Evan is continually researching and experimenting with new roasting methods and coffee origins. The best way to enjoy Black Rifle coffee, by the way, is through the Coffee Club, a free subscription where your chosen coffee is roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. In addition to the convenience, you receive special discounted pricing and gain access to exclusive products, member-only content, partner discounts, and more. Get the freshest coffee in America without leaving your couch. You can purchase it at www.blackriflecoffee.com and use the code NR20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. Again, www.blackriflecoffee.com, promo code NR20 for 20% off. Please check it out.
Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is Daniel Ross Goodman, author of A Single Life, a novel. Daniel, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thank you so much, John. It's great to be here.
What's your new novel, A Single Life, about, and what made you want to write it?
A Single Life is about a young Jewish religious man's odyssey on the road to marriage. It details his struggles in what the Orthodox would call shiduchim, which is dating for marriage. And I wrote it because I felt impelled to write it. That's the only reason that one writes fiction in my mind, not for any external reason, but because you feel an inner creative impulse to write.
So who is this main character and what kind of trouble does he get in?
This main character is named Eli Newman, or Ellie Newman. There's actually a debate in the novel about how to pronounce his name. And he starts off in a yeshiva, which is a religious seminary in Baltimore, during intense Talmud study, where young men engage in intense Talmud study. And he's dating there for marriage. His roommate sets him up with his sister. Eli has had so many struggles in terms of finding a marriage partner, and finally his roommate says, well, you know, I may have someone who might work for you, but his roommate has been reluctant to set him up with his sister because his sister is someone who has, in Orthodox lingo, gone off the derech, which means she's off the path, off the religious path. She's no longer religious. But Eli is kind of at wit's end, and he thinks, okay, maybe let's try it, and she might come around to being religious again. So they go out, and things are going pretty well at first, until after the third date, she ghosts him, as we would say now, and she just disappears, and he can't figure out what happened. And then he decides to leave Baltimore, where he's been for a long time in the yeshiva community there, and he takes a job up as a high school teacher of Jewish studies in a modern Orthodox high school in West Hartford, Connecticut. And there he starts really getting into some trouble because he starts having feelings for an English teacher there who is not even Jewish. And then that's where the real conflicts for him start, because he has to figure out, well, here I am, a religious Jewish man, and for the first time in my life, I'm having some success, it seems like, on the road to finding a marriage partner, but she's not even Jewish. So should I continue with this? How should I handle this at all?
Is this a romance novel, and is it meant for a Jewish audience or a broader audience?
I would say it's a literary romance novel. So it's not the kind of romance novel that you would find in a drugstore, you know, the paperback romance novels, those kinds of things. It's a literary romance novel that examines a romance from a literary perspective, really probing into the character's psyches, their emotions, the twists and turns with every word exchanged, every email, every text message exchanged. I would say that it's accessible to all audiences. The Jewish audiences would get some of the inside jokes that maybe non-Jewish audiences wouldn't get. But I do use a lot of Jewish lingo, what's called yeshivish, which is a kind of mixture of Hebrew, Yiddish, and Aramaic spoken by religious Jews. But I translate everything in footnotes on the bottom so that if you're curious about certain expressions, you can check it out on the bottom. And what I would say makes it accessible to everyone is that even though it's a particular love story, it's a particular story about a young Jewish religious man, the feelings that are described, the twists and turns of a romance, of a love story, that's universal. Anyone in any culture can relate to that.
You're listening to The Bookmonger, a production of National Review, and I want to tell you about National Review Plus. With NR Plus, you get unlimited access to National Review's digital magazine. That means no paywall, all the issues in the 10-year archive, and all the podcasts. But this is more than a digital subscription. It's a membership that includes access to our members-only Facebook page, members-only conference calls with NR writers, editors, and guests, members only commenting on the site, and a lot fewer ads, including none within articles. To learn more, please go to nationalreview.com/NRPLUS. Daniel, you write a lot of nonfiction. That's mostly how I know your work. Criticism about books and movies and so on. What made you want to turn to the medium of fiction? What can you do with fiction that you can't do with nonfiction?
So many things. I write movie reviews, art reviews for the Washington Examiner and a few other places as well, but primarily now with the Examiner. But fiction allows me that creative outlet to express certain emotions and that inner depth of feeling that I think we all know is there. But sometimes when we're writing and reading nonfiction, we can't really access them the same way. I love writing nonfiction. I love the work that I get to do for the Washington Examiner in my movie reviews. But nonfiction is, it can just get on the surface of things oftentimes. It's harder to get to the depths, and that's what fiction can do. It can really probe into the psyche and get into the psychological depths of the human experience in a way that nonfiction cannot do. And it also allows me as a fiction writer to exercise that creative outlet that I have, that creative people feel who are impelled to create. And we have an idea and a vision for something, and to bring that idea, that inner spark out into a full light into the world is really, I think, the fundamental drive that impels creative people to create.
You have another book out right now called Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Wonder and Religion in American Cinema. That's nonfiction. Give us your elevator pitch for that. What is that book about?
So that book is, as the subtitle describes, it's about wonder and religion in American cinema. So if you are a movie lover, a movie fan, as I am, and you love movies, and maybe you also have a religious sensibility and you're curious about, well, I really love movies, but is there anything more to that? Are they touching upon realms of the human experience that maybe religion do as well. Is that why they're resonating for me? And this book examines about 20, 25 of some of the more intriguing movies of the late 20th and early 21st century and looks at them from a religious perspective. And I think it's a good read if you're interested in Scorsese movies, Coen Brothers movies, Wes Anderson, and some of the other great American directors.
The author is Daniel Ross Goodman. The book is A Single Life. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.